Are you tired of being told what to think and how to act? Well, you are not alone. In case you haven't realized it, you have an internal GPS. It knows all you need to know about how to live your life. So it's about time you stopped letting the media and the government tell you what is true for you. In fact, it is exactly that time. It's time to think for yourself. And here to make sure you're doing just that is your host, mediator, author, and lawyer, Carol Gold.
Hi, it's Wednesday, September 22nd. I'm Carol Gold, and welcome to Think for Yourself. I want to share some thoughts that I had as a result of rereading, because I've read this book now three times, The Age of the Unthinkable by Joshua Cooper Ramo. It's a remarkable book because it looks at where we've been, where we are, and where we want to go in terms of actually living through a time of transition when we have to come up with new ways of doing things. And one of the things that I think we have to do new is look at power differently. You know, in a recent podcast, I talked about the word righteousness, and I said that the definition is always subjective when you look at a word. And when you look at the word righteousness, if you live, and I'm just going to summarize what I said in that prior podcast, if you look at the word righteousness from the Western perspective, Western theological perspective, righteousness is things like goodness and charity and kindness. But if you look at righteousness from the East, from some, for example, some extremist terrorist organizations which are founded in let's say, Sharia law, righteousness might be blowing yourself up and killing as many people as possible at the same time might be deemed a righteous act. And so we have to be careful when we look at definitions because they're so subjective. And power is one of them. Because there are actually books like a book called Power Versus Force, which talks about the difference between the two, whereas force tends to be used to shepherd people in an aggressive way in a specific direction, and power is less assertive. Power is quieter than force. Power is more subtle than force. And power is more powerful, if I can do that, than force. So let's look at power. Because the world is upside down, and there's no one who doesn't think it's upside down. The way that we used to do things isn't working. You know, I was reading in The Age of the Unthinkable, where Joshua Cooper Ramo was talking about power, and he was talking about rapid change, and he was saying that in an interconnected world where danger and risk and profit are all linked together in ways that sometimes are impossible to recognize or manage, that solutions that involve armies and diplomats don't have much use. So what a great recent example of that was what happened in Afghanistan. We tried diplomatic efforts, supposedly the Biden administration. We used the military to get out, right? We used diplomats, we used the military, but people were left there. So all the force in the world, the greatest army in the world, and all of the traditionally diplomatic channels didn't do a whole lot. What did a lot were individuals, charities, NGOs, even retired veterans who stepped up in their own ways outside of government, outside of diplomatic channels, outside of the way things have always been done when countries are ending wars. And they had success. They've gotten people out. And they're still getting people out that our government couldn't or wouldn't. What a great example of two things. One, how now we have to do things differently. And two, the power that an individual can have, or that individuals coming together can have. You know, governments and organizations that have been empowered for hundreds of years, certainly in this country, let's say for the last 100 years, don't want to give up the perks of being those in charge of power. And so there's no way that they're going to leave the stage gracefully if in a time of transition, individuals begin to realize that we have more power than perhaps a government with force has. But we have to be creative. We have to think outside the box. We have to, number one, not draw definitive lines of black and white and good and evil. You know, I say this because it's not that evil doesn't exist. It's not that really bad things aren't done by really bad people. It's that there's a tendency now in this division that has been created in this country. There is a tendency for each side to look at the other and only see the bad. You know, I have a friend. I have to hesitate because I think recently she's a former friend because of this very thing that I'm going to tell you. I was friendly with someone who, no matter what the Democrats do, no matter what this administration does, she calls it evil. Everything they do is evil. There is nothing on that scale. There is nothing on that spectrum. In fact, there is no spectrum for her. Everything that isn't how she sees the world is evil. Now, as I said before, I'm not saying there isn't evil. I'm just saying that one side or the other never has all the answers and never is the cause of all the bad. It's really important that we begin to think that way. It's really important that we begin to allow for solutions to arise among individuals and from the strangest places, from the mouths of babes even. I don't know where. It can come from anywhere. Wisdom, there's an expression. Wisdom can be your grandmother cooking chicken soup at the stove. Wisdom can be the person pumping gasoline for you at the station. We should never be so arrogant as to think that there can't be solutions coming out of the most extraordinary and unexpected places. Because if we don't do that, if we don't allow for that out-of-the-box thinking, then we're going to sequester ourselves in old paradigms that clearly are not working. You know, in this quest to remedy all of the flaws in the history of the United States, in the quest to equalize and make equity out of inequitable capitalism, in an attempt to correct what is called systemic racism in a country that is being accused of being systemically racist, the pendulum is swinging 100% the other way. Anti-racism has actually become a form of racism. And when you attempt to make equity, when you attempt to take money from one group of people and give it to another in order to balance things out, you wind up creating something that we escaped from, that we fought a revolution over. And that was in England, when it was only the lords and the aristocracy that owned land, and everyone else could only work the land. There were serfs and there were the aristocracy. There were the lords and there were the serfs. Well, guess what? As farmers become unable to farm their lands in this country, as it becomes more and more difficult for small businesses, as the government begins to make it more profitable to stay home than work, when the World Economic Forum says that by 2030, I think it is, you'll own nothing. You'll own nothing. That means including your home. You'll own nothing and you'll like it that way. Someone will own your home. It just won't be you. And what we will return to is either what exists under communism, which is a very select elite hold all the wealth and have all the power and everybody else is enslaved, or we'll wind up under something like what we fought a revolution over to get away from King George, which was, again, an aristocracy class and a serfdom class. We have to be very careful because when pendulums swing, they do that. When a pendulum goes too far in one direction, it will go equally as far in the other direction before it balances itself out. We're living in that pendulum swing to the other extreme. And we have to be really careful of two things. One, that we don't begin to call that the new normal. That we don't begin to return to a centralized, powerful government and select elite with everyone else scratching to get by, or worse, being paid a guaranteed income to stay home, which in essence, you then become enslaved and lose your incentive for everything, creativity, life, everything. We either swing there or we revolt against that, with the pendulum swinging completely in the other direction, back to a kind of revolutionary violence. And it doesn't have to be an either or. You know, I've spoken about in prior podcasts, Nagarjuna, who lived about 500 years after Socrates. And he was a Hindu, I believe, who became a Buddhist. He was born a Hindu, he became a Buddhist. And Nagarjuna said, there isn't just two choices and out of every situation. That's Aristotelian logic. There's yes or there's no. There's black or there's white. There's up or there's down. There's X or there's Y. Nagarjuna said there's four possibilities in every possible dilemma, in every possible, I can't say dilemma because that's two. In every possible challenge or problem, there are four possible solutions. There's X, there's Y, there's both X and Y, and there's neither X nor Y. Think about those. Replay this if you need to hear it again. I'll say it again a little slower. There's X, there's Y, there's both X and Y, or there's neither X nor why. That's the out-of-the-box opportunities that we have to be looking for now. We have to be creative as individuals. We have to realize that as individuals, we have power. You know, I just got through the Jewish High Holy Days, and there's an awful lot of prayer about repentance. However, there's also an awful lot of prayer about the sanctity and the power of the individual who is connected to something higher than themselves. You know, as we go through rapid change, and that's what is happening all around us, not just in the tech world, it's happening everywhere. As we go through rapid change, there's one thing you want to remember if you want to feel empowered, and that is, in times of rapid change, there are no experts. There are no, not Dr. Fauci, not Joe Biden, not anyone, not Mark Zuckerberg. There are no experts. And the reason is, in times of rapid change, systems that were previously working, at which people had become adept and expert at, aren't applicable. You're in rapid transitory change. You have to think outside the box, because in times of rapid change, intuition and speed are infinitely more powerful and important than academics or studies that have been done in the past or ways in which things were previously done. That's what we're in now. That's the time we're in now. And so what you have to do, what I have to do, is become comfortable being uncomfortable. It's not a paradox. It's literally true. We're going to be uncomfortable. These are chaotic times. Let's get comfortable with that. Let's accept it. Let's see it as an incredible opportunity to be as unique and as creative as each one of us can be, because none of us know where the answers are coming from. It's not going to be a single leader. It's going to be leadership that arises organically out of creative thinking. And that may be one person connecting to another person, connecting to another person, who combined become greater than any of them are individually. That's the opportunity we're confronted with. And the only way we fail this is if we fail to try, is if we fail to seize the moment, to take this unique time in human history and say, anything is possible. Everything is possible. I just have to be open to allowing creative thinking to come my way. And I have to be able to be courageous enough to act on intuition. These are times that require courage, creativity, a willingness to allow change to manifest, and cooperation. I think that if you keep Nagarjuna in mind and remember that you don't always have to make a choice between one or the other, Allow yourself to contemplate the possibility that there is a third or a fourth possibility to resolving what is in front of you. And I believe that if we all take risks, take personal responsibility for those risks, have courage, and are willing to deal with the outcomes of the choices that we make, understanding that some of them will be better than others, we have an opportunity to live through a remarkable time when those who are still trying to hold the reins and retain power in ways that are no longer applicable will become the dinosaurs of our age. And from that, the phoenix will rise from the ashes. I'm Carol Gold. Thanks for listening. I'll be back here again on Friday. Until then, by all means, think for yourself.
Carol thanks you for spending your valuable time with her. It is her mission to empower you to remember how smart and capable you are. Be sure to check out Carol's website, carolgold.com. That's Carol with an E, gold.com. Please leave a review and subscribe here so you'll be alerted to Carol's next podcast. Until then, above all else, remember, it's time to think for yourself.